good having you all here. I'm glad you all got here safely, and I'm hoping that everyone who was planning on getting here did get here. It's kind of wild out there. I don't know if you noticed, as soon as we started singing, it got really sunny outside. Well, we were all in here, so you probably didn't. Well, good. So we're going to do a few bit of a different sort of thing today. We're going to do Thanksgiving interviews. We'll look at Psalm 1 real briefly, and then I will call up members of the congregation who've signed up, and I'll just ask them a simple question. What are you thankful to God for? And we'll kind of do it interview style. I'll have Rob's going to be the first one up, just so you know. And I'll have him help me bring this over to the middle here. But I'll sit on the far side, and I'll steal one of these stools, and I'll have that stool, and I'll give you the option. You could stand if you want. If you stand, I'll stand. You can use one of these stools, or you can use one of these, and you can adjust it to height. So if we want to see what it would look like if me and Rob are, you know, on the same level here, we'll just keep it all the way down, right? But if you really want, you know, one-to-one, so I'll leave that up to you, wherever you want to go with that. So just so everyone who's coming up here knows what to expect. If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open up to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to use one of those red chairback Bibles. They're queued up. And as always, if you don't own a Bible and you'd like a Bible, feel free to take one of those red chairback Bibles home with you. Read it. Put your name in it. It's our gift to you. We want you to get into the Word of God and the Word of God to get into you. Every so often, it happens about every 8 or 9 months. All of a sudden, we kind of look around and we're like, oh, we need more Bibles. And we probably should have ordered them a month or two ago. So if you notice that the Bible stock is getting a little low, feel free to shoot us an email or give us a call at the church just to remind us. It's a good thing when we have to order more Bibles because people are taking us up on that. Psalm 100. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you for the gift of music that can so often remind us to give thanks to you for all that you've done and for who you are and who we are in you. Lord, I pray as we look into your word and look into each other's lives that you will convict us and change us and transform us. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen. So Thanksgiving. Gratitude is such a major part of what it is to be a Christian. It is something that is, I think, needs to be recaptured in every single generation and every single stage of our lives. We need to be reminded to be thankful. I think that is one of the wonderful things about Thanksgiving. It's not an official church holiday in any way, shape, or form, but I love that it's part of our culture. Because probably more than any other holiday, because there's no, you know, there's not really greeting cards. I mean, they try to. You know, you go to the greeting card section, you're like, oh, send a Thanksgiving card. Anyone send Thanksgiving cards? There's probably two of you. Yeah, they're like, and you know what? It's the people. I'm not surprised that you're doing it. Good job. But for the rest of us, it's like, oh, I don't have to send a card. I don't have to, you know, we have to make food. But, you know, but generally, it's just a day where you're getting together with your family and friends. And that's kind of what holidays should be. And we're, I don't know about you, but in my family, we'd go around the table and, all right, what are you thankful for? Do we have to do this again? I'm thankful that I'm almost done doing this. You know. But it's helpful because we need to be reminded. And a few theologians over the course of the centuries had some thoughts. And why don't we go ahead and throw up the first one there, Kat, of what Thanksgiving is. John MacArthur, most of you guys know who he is. He said, a thankful heart is one of the primary identifying characteristics of a believer. It stands in stark contrast to pride, selfishness, and worry. And it helps fortify the believer's trust in the Lord and reliance of his provision, even in the toughest times. No matter how choppy the seas become, a believer's heart is buoyed by constant praise and gratefulness to the Lord. Yeah, I think John MacArthur's exactly right there. Now, go ahead and put up the next one. The interesting thing with this one is G.K. Chesterton was Catholic. He passed away, which is why I used was. So I'm not sure how John MacArthur would have felt having him up there. But I appreciate our Catholic friends and their thinkers. While we differ with them in many theological terms, it is important that we have them because they remind us when we read other people who are not the Bible, it reminds us, hey, we have to be on our guard and be thinking about them because everything that comes out of every theologian's mouth isn't true. He says, I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought And that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. That's awesome. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought. Just chew on that one for 20 minutes. Thanks is the highest form of thought. You think you're really smart, but you're an ingrate? G.K. Chesterton would say, no, I don't think so. G.K. Chesterton was also a very rotund man. He said, he would always poke fun at his size, and he said, you know, I am the most gentlemanly person in all of England. He says, when I have to get up, when I give a lady a seat on the bus, I can give three ladies a seat on the bus. You can only get one when you get up from your seat. So he's the most gentleman of all. And we have one more I wanted to read. This is George Matheson, a Scottish writer and minister. I thought about doing a Scottish accent, and after trying it, I decided not to. You're welcome. Those of you of Scottish descent or just with normal sensibilities. He says, my God, I have never thanked thee for my thorn. I have thanked thee 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorn. I have been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensation for my cross as in itself a present glory. Teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have made my rainbow. Whoa. I've thanked you for the cross. I've thanked you for the roses. I haven't thanked you for the thorn. And just that imagery of through my tears, there is a rainbow on the other side of that. Just, whoa. Scottish writer and minister. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to be in his congregation. Cool stuff. Good thinker. So with that, we go and we turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, short, I'm just going to read the whole thing. It says, shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For Yahweh is good and his love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. So those of you who know my preaching style, the big idea is, why should we give thanks to God? We should give thanks to God because his loving kindness is eternal. That's the big idea of this text. Everything he does, it is because he loves us. For Yahweh, the covenantal name of God, the personal name of God in the Old Testament. Yahweh is good, his love is eternal, his faithfulness endures throughout generations. Faithfulness is a good translation of that word, but it's a hard word to translate because it's got a lot of meaning in it. His faithful love, his faithful faithfulness, his faithful loyalty, his compassion, his care for you. It lasts for eternity. We give thanks because his faithful love endures forever. That's why we give thanks. So with that, Rob, you want to come up and give aid to me as I scooch some stuff around stage here? Right there in the center. That works. Let's move it closer to the congregation so they can see us all sweat. This chair. Do you guys want to stand? Do you want to sit? You want to fight over stools? That could get interesting.
You stand. And then I won't be too much taller than everybody else.
This is fantastic. You're still... Actually, here, you sit over here so everyone can see Brenda.
Okay.
You're still taller than her. He's probably still taller than me, too, so I'm going to stand. So, Rob, Brenda, what are you thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful for a lot of things, but first of all, I'd like to say that I am thankful that from early in my life, I can remember hearing God calling me, and I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for... I can see people in my life in the past that have made huge differences in my life, like my mother, who, you know, took me to church every week when I didn't want to go and made me get out of bed, and my adoptive father, you know, the influence that he was in my life, and he was a godly man and really brought discipline into my life and really helped me to be the man that I am today.
Got you out of bed to go to church.
Oh, yeah.
Good thing. Or probably he put the fear of you, so you got out of bed yourself. You didn't want him taking you out.
He was a lieutenant in the fire department. And so growing up, my nickname was Rob the Slob. And there's it.
Lovingly.
Well, my brothers and sisters, because I was. But when my mom remarried when I was 16 and my dad came in, and he was a lieutenant on the Toledo Fire Department, and I will remember the first couple years were really culture shock because every morning he'd come in and do the military inspection in our bedrooms, and I didn't even make my bed, let alone make sure the quarter bounced on the on the bedspread and not wrinkle things. And he'd, you know, hey, there's dust up here on the top of your windowsill. You got to start over again. And so it was quite a culture shock for me. But thank goodness that he was that way because, and I was late for everything. I mean, I was late for everything. But he was, for people my age and slightly younger, you probably remember Vince Lombardi. Who was coach of the Green Bay Packers. Well, Vince Lombardi was, you set your clocks ahead 15 minutes because you weren't late. If you were a second late for the team meeting, you were kicked out. So my dad got me on that, and that was difficult at the time. But now I drive Brenda crazy with that because I can feel the internal clock going tick, 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 and know that we got to go somewhere.
Good for you.
Yeah. And I'm thankful for couple of people, especially when I got saved, the lady named Betty Toter, who owned a Christian bookstore in Toledo that I used to go to, and I grew up Catholic, and so you know, I'd go in and discuss things with her, and she'd lead me to, you know, more to the truth, and she challenged me to go to the Billy Graham crusade that was at the Pontiac Silverdome. And I resisted that for a long time, but she finally talked me into it, and I went up there, and that's where I became a Christian. That's where I gave my heart to Jesus.
Awesome.
And then the other person that I'm thankful for in those early years was a man named Bob Newsom, who right after I got saved, he took me under his wing and mentored me. I was in my late 20s at that point, and he was in his 60s, but he spent a couple of years investing in my life and teaching me, you know, how to be a godly man, and I've been struggling with that ever since. But mostly, I'm thankful for that 24 years ago, this wonderful lady married me because I had nothing going for me. I'd been through a divorce and had no money and had big bills and all kinds of other stuff. My credit was wrecked, and I was a basket case out of work for a year before she came into my life, and you know, she said, money's not important to me. I'm just concerned about being married to somebody who's gonna, you know, love me and be good to me. So I'm really, 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 really thankful for Brenda.
Amen. Amen. Brenda, do you have things you want to add?
Well,
or share?
Yes. When I grew up, my parents didn't go to church, but they would drop me off because I wanted to go to Sunday school. And but that kind of wavered back out. And then in the years after that, I was searching, and I thought, you know, I needed to, God was calling me, but I didn't know. Really, I didn't know him. But I went to this one church and was taking study. And the pastor was leading it. And we were talking about Moses and the Red Sea. And I questioned it. I said, did God really just, you know, allow Moses just to, he said, well, it was probably shallow. And you know, and the more he talked, the more I go, that, you know, that doesn't work to me. And I did not go. So then I went to another church, and there was no altar call. I really, you know, it was just talking about God and Jesus. I never felt that relationship, so I didn't get it. And so It wasn't until my brother talked about it. He evidently was saved through a Baptist church and talking to me. And so after our conversations, I really pulled into prayer and realized that I needed Jesus as my Savior. And I went to church with him. And it's a Baptist church in Monclova. But that was when I really, you know, made my Jesus my Savior. But what's interesting, because of what I went through, I was searching, but nobody ever came up to me and said, you know, witness to me personally. And so I want to tell everybody how important it is. You might think everybody's heard. It's wrong. No. So that's why I feel that we all have a mission to reach out to that person. And if they don't want to accept it, fine. But you know what? God puts you in that path. And so if you don't take that step, you've missed God's calling for you. And because I am one of those people. And it's very interesting how that was missed. And I was searching. And then I think probably about 2 years later, I met my husband. And we've been married. And Jesus has been such a strong beacon in my life. I mean, if I don't have him, there's nothing without our Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, I talk to him. He leads me, guides me, convicts me, stops me. Yeah, literally stops me. Sometimes I just can't go forward. I go, whoa, this is what the Holy Spirit's about. Yeah. So he is Lord of my life, and we just try to reach out to our family and just know that it's in God's timing, but we still have to do our part to listen for the opportunity to bring him, you know, into the conversation. Because who knows? Sometimes it's takes many contacts. But this is what I always thought. It's kind of like this is a dresser. You pull out a shelf. When you witness somebody, they put it in there and they close the door. But it's still there. Then the next time, somebody else, there's another thing in another drawer. And you know what? After so long, when they are to the bottom, you know, where they have nothing, and they realize they can't do anything for themselves because they've done it and it doesn't work, that they'll pull out these drawers. And you know what? It's got one answer, our Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Brendan. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rob.
Yep.
God bless you guys. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Got to get my list here. I also was told to put a box of tissues here just in case. Sharon, there you are. Why don't you come on up? Do you want a stand? Do you want a stool? What do you want? Great. So, what are you thankful to God for?
Well, first of all, I'm thankful for his gift of love, and Christmas is one of my special times, so celebrating the gift of love. And then a second chance at love. So I'm thankful for Darren in my life. But I'm also thankful for opportunities to serve. I've been given opportunities here in the state of Michigan that most women have not had. So I'm thankful for those.
Well, we're thankful that you're helping us figure some of that stuff out, too, on our side of things. How many dolls have you guys made so far? All you ladies who come here and sew.
How many dolls? I don't know. How many? Yeah.
Over 100. And are there still some out there on the welcome? Yeah, so.
We're still doing dolls.
If you want a good idea of what they're doing here Tuesday night, at least sometimes, feel free to go out and check out the dolls over there. And 100 dolls. That's awesome. And there's evangelism tools out there. But what else?
What else am I thankful for?
Yeah.
Right now in my life, I get to do mission stuff with WMU, Women's Missionary Union. Which is a huge challenge because I'm, as president of WMU for the state of Michigan, that also makes me a vice president for National Southern Baptist Convention in WMU. So there's a lot of responsibilities, and I'm learning a lot about missions and getting to go places that, you know, I never thought I would get to go. And my question is, as we were talking about this and you asked me, I thought, okay, I'm thankful for that, but then the question came, why me? Why have you allowed me to do this, God?
What did he tell you when you asked that question?
Well, I think Jan told me this morning when she read that scripture that he has plans for us, and those are plans to serve him and to do good works, and I've just have been given some amazing opportunities, mission trips and those kinds of things. My mission partner sitting out there. Hi, mission partner.
Hi, Ellen.
Ellen's my mission partner. We've done several things together. So I'm thankful that he has given me that, because he is our Savior, and we are here to serve him.
Amen. Amen. Sharon was telling me, was it Friday you were in? No, mm-hmm. Thursday?
Thursday.
I don't know what day it was.
Thursday.
She's got like 3 opportunities coming up, so we need, as a church, need to be praying for her, and we as a mission team probably need to have some conversations about some of that stuff, and so you need a lot of support, and there's a lot of opportunity, and
right.
It's phenomenal. So is there anything else you wanted to share?
Well, let me elaborate on that just a little
bit.
Ahead,
yeah.
I've been asked to take a team to Hawaii next summer to lead Vacation Bible School.
Suffer for the Lord, everyone.
I've also been asked to go to Paris. And then I was just asked this week, I taught a mission study on our international mission study on Indonesia at Ross Common Church Wednesday night. And one of the men came up and said, would you go to South Africa for 3 weeks and teach Center Shop? And I went, whoa. So I don't know where God's going to take me this summer, but it will be someplace. And then, of course, we will be taking dolls with us wherever we go. And then we also have a mission trip in August to the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, great. So, yeah, so there's lots going on. Thank you. I am thankful for you, and thank you for being a part of this church. And
thank you.
Helping us have missions opportunities and giving us a good connection with the state convention and everything. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Jason Skidmore, you want to come on up? I didn't tell anyone what their order was here, so it's kind of like a little game of Russian roulette. And they're, you know, when you had to do public speaking in school, there's always people who wanted to go last, and there's always people who wanted to go first. I was always like, get it over with. And, so those of you who have to speak, you're like, when am I next? It's more fun that way. I spend every one of my Sundays all... Yeah, you know, and everyone comes all happy and everything. This is the Sunday where I get to be all happy and all of you get to be.
Hi, guess Jason. That makes sure that you, the host, gets the control.
That's right. what are you thankful for?
In particular, it's been a crazy year. As you know, we moved. I took the job here in Traverse City in March. Had a real thankful for the church we had back in Bay City. I'd been there 6 years, really plugged in, great friends. So moving up here, that was kind of our, oh boy, we're leaving a lot behind. But it's been nice that, you know, even it's only been 8 months now that we've been up here, that we've been able to get plugged in and get, you know, I'm singing on Saturday evening. So the same, I did that. I sung, was the only male vocal down in Bay City. So kind of something similar that transferred over really fast that was good.
By the way, we still refer to him Saturday night as the male vocalist. Which is funny because we will refer to, I don't know if you overhear this, but we'll say Jason, the male vocalist. Like, we should just be able to say Jason, the vocalist, or Jason, the singer. Why? I mean, no one's thinking Jason, oh, is that a boy or a girl? I don't know. but we've been referring to you as the male vocalist.
so it's just
that for what it is.
So I'm just thankful that it worked out. It was, you know, and the changing jobs is always crazy, but it was nice to find something and have at least something behind the scenes go well. And then just was good to have, it's been rough fall because I've been on a ton of business trips, but it's been good to be able to come home on the weekends and at least have familiar faces to see and talk with. So it's been good.
Awesome. And thank goodness fall is over. Now winter has arrived.
Yes,
so
and we'll see if
it's a new season. Anything else?
Just thankful for how God's gotten me through just life. I mean, as a kid, I grew up in a church home, but I was kind of, my testimony is I kind of faked it. I was a good, more like a Pharisee. I had my good little rules, and I made sure I showed up in church. And then God was able to, there always seemed to be crazy circumstances he gets me through. I went away to college. I went to a Christian college, which that actually worked out okay, but I wasn't a Christian when I went, and I came back through some weird situations. God saved me through that. So, and then God matured me, and then just through the process, he helped me get on the mission field. And then I had, you know, through the mission field, I met my wife, Ellen. And so I'm just thankful for God and how over the years he's led. It's not, it kind of, I guess, goes with my personality. I tend to be a little bit random and a little crazy at times. And God seems to have gotten me through to where if I look back, it's all organized. But at the time, it sure didn't feel like it. So I'm thankful for God getting me through life in ways that he clearly had a plan, even though sometimes I didn't know what it was, but God worked it out. And clearly looking back, it's obvious that I serve a sovereign God and that God's given me a lot of grace and a lot of just gotten me through things that were pretty awesome and amazing. That I sure don't deserve to be saved, but he saved me. I sure don't deserve the blessings like my wife and like my family, but he sure given it to me. So
awesome. Well, amen. Thank you, Jason.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's see. The next one will be Mike Gillette. Come on up. Nobody necessarily wants to be last, but I figure, you know, you're at home in that stool, so.
Right,
yeah. See, now it's one of the years I stole.
I thought about trying the other one just for something different.
Oh, you could. We can make them wait. They're, what are they going to do? Go out driving in here? Longer you're here, the safer it is out there on the road. Mike, what are you thankful for?
Yeah, Psalms 127:4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons born one's youth. I may need those. Happy is the man who has filled his quiver with them. Such men will never be put to shame. I am so thankful for my family. Not kidding about the Kleenexes. I get emotional sometimes. When Sue and I were first married, I didn't want any kids. And I was pretty strong about that. To be truly honest, and this will get me out of being emotional, to be truly honest, I was scared to death of babies. I didn't want to hold them. I didn't want to touch them. I figured they would break. And so I didn't want nothing to do with them. And so we were married for 7 years before we had Luke. So he's the one that... that I learned that they don't break, basically.
Is there a story behind that?
No. Well, yeah, there's a little story, like the time I got stuck having to change the dirty diaper. Oh, I was panicking. And, yeah, I kind of, you know, just was beside myself, and Sue came to my rescue.
It was probably no picnic for him either.
No, it was not. But, you know, in the end... truly, I do feel it. Yeah, my quiver was filled with my three boys, and now I got three girls along with them. So Sue's got something on her side. I said three strikes and you're out. Sorry, no more. She really wanted a girl. But so now we got three girls as well. And now I have a grandson and a little granddaughter, and I know they don't break. I had a ball with them. And I think it's really cool, too, that they that two out of the three of them live at home with us and are willing to do that. And the third one actually moved back into Elk Rapids as well, so he'd be close. And I just find that so, I'm just so thankful for that. I wish I could build a house and have a wing off of each one for all three of the boys and one for Sue and I, because of all the joy that we see, that we've had an opportunity of to see Milo and Clara and some of their firsts that grandparents don't always get to see. I got to see that. Now, I think just like your rose example, the rose, there's an awful lot of good. And there are a few thorns. I'm not going to say it wasn't all roses. But there are a few thorns with so many people living in one house. And, yeah, there's sometimes that, you know, we rub each other a little bit. But for the most part, I am so thankful that I got three boys, and two out of the three of them are actively involved in the church. It's a blessing, I feel, there.
Amen.
And then, along with that, if I can now shift gears, they're also involved in music. And I am so thankful that God gave us music in our family. You only get a taste of it here. You just get a little bit of what we do. If I go back, Sue and I actually met in 10th grade. We've been together since 10th grade. Yeah, a long time. And for Rob's sake, we were the ones who played for the groundbreaking of the Silver Dome. We also played the first game of the Silver Dome. So we've been in music for a long time, too. And it's kind of neat the way in which God has pushed us along in our musical talent to put us to where we are right now. When we first started, I played trumpet is what I did. And Sue played her flute, and we play other instruments as well. But those are the two main ones that we played as a worship team. And then one thing led to another. Next thing you know, Sue and I are, she's playing her guitar, and I'm sort of leading in a little church. And then we came here, and we kind of moved in underneath Barb, for those that were here. And Barb kind of took us under her wing, which was kind of cool. And then next thing I know, how did this happen? I don't know. But Nathan came, and all of a sudden I was the lead worship team singer. I'm not a singer. I'm an instrumentalist. Well, that's what I thought. God had different plans for me. For some reason, he wanted me to sing. So, okay, so we sing. And my boys started in the sound system, I don't know how many years ago it's been, because I did sound for a church at first, even before I was doing music. And now the things they know about sound system, you guys have no idea what goes on back there. It's amazing. Today we came in and it was a disaster. The sound was not working right. And they do their little magic thing, and there it is. It's going now, and I'm so thankful for them being involved. And how they picked their girls that fit into our worship team, I don't know. God did that too, I guess. You know, we have our own worship team in our house, and you should be there on holidays. It's pretty cool.
I don't think we could possibly fit into your house based on what you just said.
I don't think you could either.
But thank you for the invitation. You now all have an open invitation to the Gillette Homestead.
Yep.
Kat, can you put that address up now? Well, thank you so much, Mike. Yep. I appreciate it.
Yep.
April, would you come on up and share with us? Do you want to stand? Do you want a stool? Do you want to... I could appreciate that. Hey.
I get more height on sitting.
Oh, there you go. Hey.
See?
I can make you feel better too. Here. There you go.
Not even touch the ground.
Here you go. You can be higher than me.
Hi. Hi, April.
What are you thankful for? Thankful to God for?
I am so thankful for God about many, many things, as everyone always is. I thank God on a personal note every single day for one specific thing, and that's I woke up breathing. God has taught me life lessons, huge life lessons. I grew up in a Christian home, went to Christian school. It doesn't mean we always follow Christ. And I took a wrong path when I hit my early 20s, and I followed that path for a really, really long time. I had two wonderful boys out of it, and I'm thankful for that. And about 2 years ago, the Lord really, really woke me up. You know how people say sometimes you just need to be smacked on the head to get woke up? He literally smacked me on the head. My head went through a tailpipe at work. I got crushed by a high-low driver. And I became angry. Why? Why are you doing this? I was perfect in my life at that moment. I was as happy as I could have ever been. I was skinny. I was ready about to get into my first boxing match. I had a lot going on. I had a great job. I was moving up quickly in my job. I finally got out of the bar business after years. And boom, I got hit. destroyed me, destroyed my boxing career, destroyed my body, destroyed my head. I had a 5-month concussion, hard time speaking, hard time walking, a lot of pain. But this is where God says, you have a plan. And I know God's always been there. That was one thing that I never denied. I never denied God. Even though when people would be like, how can you believe in a God? I look at him, how can you not? Are you an idiot? I mean, look around you. You know what I mean? Like, I've never denied a God.
You said that with love.
Yeah, I did.
Compassion.
I did, but it was mostly came out like that. Are you stupid? I actually had one guy go, well, God created the well, if God existed, then why did he get rid of the dinosaurs? I looked around and go, well, at least he created them. Duh.
What have you done with your life?
Right. But, okay, so I got angry and just a whirlwind of everything. I had a lot of people praying for me, and I was in a really rough spot. So I started, before I ended up moving up to Beaverton to where my sister was, I started coming up north a lot more and started going to church with my sister. And my better half, who isn't here today, and he's never here, but he actually came with me. And my cousin was getting in his ear about becoming a Christian. And through the process of all of this, he got saved. And the day that he got saved, it was like God said to me, hey, there's you still. Tears rolling. I was so happy, and then I rededicated my life to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to say it just changed overnight. No. It's still been a struggle, and I've been learning more and trying to do more daily devotions. So if I have to thank God for a few things, it would be patience, because, my God, he had patience with me over the years. His forgiveness, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
For life and love.
April, thank you so much for sharing all that. Amen. Praise Jesus for you.
Thank you.
Carrie, get up here. But I didn't know Kelly was an option. You can go sit down, Carrie. Yeah, really, really stylish there.
Well, I had to come in the driveway, and I just was in Rochester.
Yeah.
I just got in the truck to come, and I forgot to take my boots off. I'll stand.
Oh, there you go. Now your wife's sitting too. You get to sit. Oh. Have fun. This is for the congregation based on whatever he says.
That's for me, so I can see you.
I didn't have
No, it's okay. Anyway. He's got a rapt audience. It's fine.
I don't know. The ladies first, I suppose.
So
I
what are you thankful for? Kelly, do you want to go first?
I thought he was going to go first.
Oh, man.
I'm not trying to be polite. But there's so many things that since you... What is it, a couple of weeks that you had put this out that, you know, to be thankful for. I've been thankful and more recognized in it in the past 4 years or so since I've been saved, but never really before. And you said that, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sign up for that because I really am. But all these few weeks here, I've just been racking what little noggin I got left. What am I really, truly so thankful for? And it just keeps coming back to me is, hey, moron, you're standing on your own. You're talking by yourself. And I guess to explain that, a lot of people don't know this, but maybe I think the only one I can possibly even think of maybe is Pastor Bruce and Judy that might recall when I was a younger boy and got in an accident. I was not very well. was in a coma for over a month, and my head got split open like an egg.
You were pole vaulting, was
pole vaulting, yes. Sports.
How old were you?
I was 14, just getting ready to turn 15. My family was freaking out. I didn't know anything that was going on. I was out, man. You know. And, I mean, I went in at, you know, like 4'8" and came out of the hospital at 5'11". Yeah. You know. Literally, I did. Yeah, I just, you know, like, ooh. But
all your good hiding spots were gone because you're too big now.
Well, yeah, that's it.
It's like the puppy under the table sort of thing, right?
That's it, like growing up in a church. My, as y'all know, my dad is a Southern Baptist minister, and I grew up in a church. But I was that kid that always is in the back, sleeping underneath the pew.
Somebody check right now.
Yeah, you know, and I can't for life of me remember his name, but he always caught me and would grab me by my ear and pull me up and set me up on the stage and make me sit there and look at everybody. I was scared to death. But anyway, I'm so thankful that I'm able to speak on my own. And I mean, like you can relate. Amy, right?
April.
That going through everything, to learn how to walk, talk, eat, everything again is... And I say that I'm so thankful because there's a couple in the church that we went to. Their son, this happened to me on a Saturday afternoon. That Saturday night, their son slipped and hit his head on the bumper of a Jeep. Leif Millard was his name. And he went into a coma and has remained a vegetable to this, but he died here about 3-4 years ago, something like that. They finally said, okay, it's too much for him. And look at me. I mean, I'm not all there, but I'm here. You know what I mean? I mean, my marbles roll around. I admit it.
That's the quote of the day. You can't top that. I'm not all there, but I'm here.
thankful.
I think that's the new church motto.
But, you know, thankful for, you know, allowing me. But
awesome.
You go through life, and I'm learning this slowly, as Pastor Bruce knows, so. You go through life and you meet people and you think that they're your friends and everything, but they're really not. And I don't know what happened, what turned it on, what clicked, whatever, I don't know. But one day, about 4 years ago, it clicked on. And I really realized all through my life, I've really only truly had one friend, and that was Jesus, because he obviously has been there, protecting, guiding. And there is a path that you're guided to that you don't know. Don't question it. Just do it. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what God has in store for me, but whatever it is, amen. I'm so thankful for her. For her.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, but most of the time. There are days it's troubling and it's hard, but yeah, I'm thankful to be able to, you know.
When you were baptized about 3 years ago, my memory's fuzzy, but I'm pretty sure Kelly slipped me an extra 20 to keep you under longer.
Yeah, a little bit longer, yeah. Yeah. Well, I just finished paying the life insurance. So, it all works.
Now it's my turn.
Kelly, what are you thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful because being brought up in somewhat of an abusive home with a very sarcastic, messed up family situation, and just kind of having been pushed aside pretty much by my mother and constantly put down and we were forced to go to church, but we were also shoved aside and told to be quiet and stay out of the way, and other than that, ridiculed a lot. And I didn't understand that wasn't normal. So basically, I was reparented by God, I would say.
Wow.
You know,
a lot through Christian radio and just seeing, like, godly women, like, in this church. Y'all know who you are. There's a bunch of them that I see their lives. Oh, now I'm going to cry, and I wasn't going to cry.
You're going to need another box.
And I see how they are, and I'm like, oh, that's how it's supposed to be. That's what a lady is, you know. People like Kristen and all you beautiful ladies. So embarrassing. So stuff like that, God has used to show me what it is to be a woman of God. Sweet and gentle spirits that they are, that I admire so much. I'm just really thankful for that, because I never saw it when I was growing up. And I saw a lot of hypocrisy and coldness and harshness. So I just appreciate that God has taught me those things. And I pray that someday he gives me that gentle and quiet spirit.
Me too.
That I see. And all the and all the beautiful women that are in this church.
No, but
and I just really thankful for this church.
Well, Kelly, we're thankful for you too. And you know, the truth is that we are all. The sanctification process, the process by which we're growing closer to Christ, it's never done. And when it is, that means you're dead. So,
right. Wish it would just happen.
That this entire congregation would have your heart and willingness to grow and humility to see God's grace in other people and God's character in other people, it would be amazing.
I didn't want to come up here because I was afraid I'd cry, and now look at me.
No, I'm thankful that you shared your testimony. I'm thankful for your humility. I'm thankful that you're willing to grow. Because when we lose that willingness to grow in Christ with others, what are we here for?
And I was also going to say I'm thankful for a faithful husband. I've never
you were going to say that.
Before Carrie, I never knew a faithful man or even one that cared about the things of God.
Let me talk to that, too, because this is where iron sharpens iron here. I see your guys' faithfulness to each other and your loyalty. And we've talked on this privately or within a small group.
Many times.
Your loyalty, which is like one of her awesome character traits. I've learned from it. It's amazing. And it ministers to this guy, too. I don't know if I can make him cry.
But not too often, it's
your loyalty. We learn from that, that you are loyal to a not to a fault, but it shows.
Just can't work if you're not.
It shows
loyal.
the loyalty you have to your husband is mirroring the faithfulness that Christ has towards his church. So thank you guys so much, both of you.
Thank you.
Stanley, let's see if we can make this awkward height thing work with us here. You want to stand? No, don't stand, for crying out loud. Okay. Hold on. Wait. Get that as high as possible here. There we go. I'm still. Well, I didn't think of it. So, what are you thankful to God for, Stanley?
You know, I've been thinking since I signed up for this what I was going to say, and it actually just hit me right there. I'm thankful to be alive. A lot of people don't know this, but I was 14. I was in a very, very bad car accident. Almost killed my mother. She was in intensive care for 45 days. I missed 90 days of school. Still have... The doctors call them contusions, I think, on my right leg, where the muscles because of the impact and stuff are gone. When I was in the Marine Corps boot camp, third phase of boot camp, so I was like the 12th week, just about ready to graduate, like a week and a half away from graduation. I was doing hand-to-hand combat. And the funny thing is, I actually have a picture of this in my boot camp book. I was fighting another guy about my height, and we was doing a sweep. Well, in the picture, I'm face-to-face with him, but my feet are straight up in the air. I landed on the back of my neck, folded over. And all I remember is the drill instructor yelling at me, "Get up, get up." And I'm like, "I'm trying to, sir," and I couldn't move my legs. And I've been told by doctors multiple times now that I'm blessed to not have been paralyzed or dead where I broke my neck. Then in 94, we was in Mogadishu, Somalia, and a group of us were unloading bottled waters off of, it's called a dragon rig, and it's an articulating flatbed truck. And somebody came up with a brilliant idea, "Hey, let's all put our rifles in the one of the sheds over here and have one guy watch them. We can do this faster." Great idea. Except you're in direct line of fire from the enemy. And it's where I learned movies lie. You don't hear the report of the rifle first. You see the sand kind of go pop, and you hear it pop, and then you kind of go, "What's that?" And then all of a sudden it dawns on you, that's bullets hitting. And, you know, start yelling, "Take cover, take cover." You hear the report of the automatic rifle. And the strafing went right where my feet were. And the guy was a pretty good machine gunner, except, like, when it came to me, the rounds were about roughly 4 feet apart, walking it into his target, as you're supposed to. And then all of a sudden, where I was, there's like an 8-foot difference where the bullets are. In fact, everybody thought I got hit. They're all telling me, "You got hit, you got hit." And I'm like, "I didn't get hit." You know, we don't know where that bullet went. If the guy pulled up the machine gun faster, which is normally not what you'd do. So that was kind of one of those where I had no idea where the bullet went, because there was like 5 impacts in front of me and 6 behind me, and literally my feet were standing right where it went through. You know my testimony as far as being brought up in a Christian family. You know, my dad was an elder of a church, and there's some bad things happened in the church, and I was saved when I was 12 years old, felt probably around 16 or 17 that I had a call to ministry. Right around 18 or 19, got scared to death of that calling and ran for 20-some years. Wow. I mean, I intentionally did things that I knew were wrong, got involved with the occult, different things. Believe at one time I possibly might even been demon-possessed. A friend of me were messing with an Ouija board, and it wasn't the Milton Bradley brand. His dad told him not to mess with it, but he tried to get rid of it, and it kept showing up. We threw it away across town, and it showed up in his closet 2 days later. We both had the same dream the same night. I don't want to glorify it, but that was a...
It was horrible.
It was horrible. It was. But, you know, that song, "He Never Lets Go," I always choke up on it. For 20 years, he never let go.
Amen.
You know, like I said, I'm just glad to be here, not just alive, but here in a good church with a good church family. And I just thank all of you.
Amen. Well, Stanley, thank you for being here too. And more than that, thank you for bringing Marcy with you.
Yeah, my better half.
Doesn't he know it? Well, thank you for sharing all that. It is true. Christ's love is deep and far and wide. It never lets us go and chases us down even when we're running the other direction.
Amen.
So, amen. Thank you, Stanley. Thank you very much. And lastly, Tom Fields. You're also tall, so you're going to have to sit. No, no, come on up.
I
Well, it's not a competition that you were supposed to know about anyways. So, Tom, what are you thankful to God for?
I'm thankful to God for just a ton of things. In fact, when you put this before us to consider, you know, talking about what we're thankful for, did everybody kind of, when God, when he asked us to think about that, did everyone try to think of some huge, huge thing that, you know, that really stands out? And I know I did, but I kept trying, well, should I talk about this, talk about that? But I want to thank God for the little things. You know, it's this has been especially brought home in the last few weeks.
It's okay. Do you want me to share?
No, I'll get through it. As many of you know, I have five grandsons. My youngest grandson was born about 3 weeks ago. He doesn't weigh 2 pounds yet. He's been in the hospital. They don't expect him to get out of the hospital till late February, if he gets out that early. I'm very thankful for my family. I have 6 children. I have a loving wife. We've been together 35 years, and I've just been blessed with that in that regard. All of my kids have been pretty good. I've got a couple that are, you know,
they're on report.
They're a work in progress. But my youngest grandson, Calvin, this week had kind of a rough week. A hole opened up in his heart, and if the medication they were putting him on didn't work, they were going to have to go do open-heart surgery. Now, you're talking about doing open-heart surgery on a heart no bigger than a pea. And you just wonder how that's even possible. But they were telling me they were going to have to collapse one of his lungs to do it, to get in there to work. And that little body is just so small. I don't know if any of you have seen any of the pictures, but my daughter-in-law finally got to hold him this week for the first time. And when I say hold him, she basically cups him in one hand. He's so tiny. But by the end of the week, the hole has closed up. So for now, they're not having to do surgery. And I'm especially thankful for that. This week, I'm getting to go out to Minneapolis where they're at. I'm going to pick my wife up. She's been down there for about 3 weeks now helping out because they have 2 other toddlers. And since my son and my daughter-in-law have been at the hospital all the time, they needed someone to watch the kids. So grandma's been there for the last week. She's kind of wore out. She's ready to come home.
Kids are tiring.
And they're runners. But I just, God is all, we have this God that has created everything. You know, I mean, you look at the stars, you look at the sun, all these vast things. But he's also the God of details. He created that little tiny heart. And he created it. He knows us on a molecular level, which is just hard to even picture. Yeah. I mean, he put every electron in place. And a guy my size, I've always been kind of, I always kind of thought of myself as control of myself and my surroundings. And, you know, I think God sees us the same way as like when we see Calvin, just this helpless little thing in the palm of his hand. And I ask that you guys continue to pray for my family, little Calvin especially. He's got quite a bit more ahead of him. I don't know what God's got planned, but you know, the truth is God's got a better plan for us than we thought than we could come up with.
Sure.
Even if we're not seeing it. Yeah. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Let's pray for Calvin right now. Father God, we lift up to you. We lift up to you, little Calvin, Lord. He is so small and so tiny, and as Tom just said, you are the God who created the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies, and you you are so powerful, and yet Scripture tells us you have regard for us, even when we are tiny little fragile babies. You knew Calvin before his parents even knew that he existed. As weird as it is to say, Lord, you love him more than his parents do and his grandparents. Lord, we know that you are the God that can heal, and we know that you are the God who can bring this child to a healthy place. And we ask, Lord, we beg you, please heal him. We know that you have the ability to do so. Lord, we don't know what your plans are with him, though, Lord, but he is a precious child. He is one of your children. And we lift him up to you as a church. We lift up the family as a church. Give them grace, give them rest, give them peace. No matter what happens, Lord, I pray that you give them comfort, knowing that even though it does not seem like you're in control, you are in control. Even though it doesn't feel like that, I pray that you give them confidence. And Lord, as a pastor of this congregation, I'm thankful for Calvin because, Lord, he has spurred so many people in this church to pray. And Lord, I know there are people who don't normally pray to you who have been praying to you for him. And so, Lord, no matter what happens, even through this little life, you have used him to call people to a relationship with you and to a deeper relationship with you, Lord. I don't know how it works, Lord, but I pray that that little life becomes an evangelist that draws people to Jesus Christ in ways that none of us can imagine or understand. He already has. I pray that he will continue to do so. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Can I share one more thing
about
Calvin? Not long after Calvin was born, they found out that Calvin has Down syndrome. And, you know, when you hear something like that, your heart sinks. It just does, you know. But when my son was telling me about it, he says, you know, Dad, Down syndrome probably saved his life. And I'm going, how was that, son? And he says, well, when they were doing the testing early on, something wasn't quite right in the testing. And so they suspected something was wrong. As far as my daughter-in-law was concerned, the pregnancy was going along like normal. She didn't feel any different. Everything was the same as with the other two kids. And the truth is, they wouldn't have found out the trouble he was in had they not been because of the Downs and the different, I don't know how that shows up in the testing, but something wasn't. So they wanted to do continued testing. And they found out that Calvin's umbilical cord was wrapped around his throat. He would have never survived going full term. They just told him flat out he would have died. Wow. So the fact that, you know, something that Satan meant for evil, God meant for good.
Amen. Amen. And something Tom had shared with me as this was all going down is he said, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, you said to a coworker, well, I guess it's in God's hands now. And you immediately stopped yourself and said, it's always been in God's hands. So thank you for that testimony. We will continue to pray for him. And
thank you.
Thank you, brother. I'll have the worship team come up and lead us in a closing song, but I want to read Psalm 100 yet again. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For Yahweh is good. His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. Why should we give thanks to God? We should give thanks to God because his faithful love is eternal. It's forever. Thank you all for sharing. Thank you for realizing through the good things, through the hard things, through the simple things, the small things, the beautiful things. We all have reason to be thankful and to give thanks to our great God. Would you guys lead us in closing song?